Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The Technion Israel Institute of Technology is where some of Israel's brightest minds ask the biggest question of all. What if? What if they could take on the world's biggest challenges? What if they could develop life-changing environmental, scientific, health, medical, and technological discoveries that will make a huge impact on Israel and the planet? But they don't just ask the question, they answer it too. They turn those ideas into reality. They make them happen. To see just some of the incredible things they've achieved, get the Technion Booklet of Wonders at ats.org/wonders. We hope it inspires you to give them your support so they can keep doing what they do best. The American Technion Society. World-changing discoveries by Israel's brightest minds, made possible by you.
So here's the most important key to understanding the Passover Haggadah. It is not a sidur. It is not a prayer book. It is not liturgy that you were supposed to read from beginning to end and then you were allowed to eat. It's an instruction manual. It's the behind-the-scenes instructions for the director of the play how to set up the production. That's what it is. Each portion of the Haggadah tries to tell you as a parent or as a participant, as a Seder leader, oh, this is the part where we get to the five rabbis in Bnei Brak staying up all night. This is your chance to tell stories about the best Seders you've ever been to, the ones that kept you up all night. Now we're going to get to the four children. You can read the four children we're going to tell you about, or just notice the four children around your own table, the different kinds of responses. And let's talk about how children respond when their parents try to shove their story down their throat. We're getting to Manishtana. Yes, it would be so great if the five-year-old stands on a chair and sings Manishtana the way they learned. But really, this is a moment for asking deep questions about how is this night different from all other nights. It's about getting everyone interested and excited and engaged in Seder night. So every portion of the Haggadah is an invitation to do something. If you want to read the instruction manual, you know, geh gesund or hate, as they say, go and be healthy. But it's not going to be interesting. It's not great literature. It's harder to take action. It's easier to just read the text. And that's what Jews have been doing for hundreds of years. But what we've been trying to do in our series of Tzion Family Haggadot is to empower people to say, oh, Dayenu is an opportunity for me to be thankful for so much in my life. Let's talk about that for a second. And yes, we can also sing the song, but if we did a round of thankfulness, we don't actually have to sing the song again. Why? Because the rabbis wanted a good parent, a good storyteller, to close the Haggadah and say, now, children, I'm going to tell you a story.
Hey, listeners. It's Mishi. So, as you know, we're continuing our series of wartime diaries, which is our attempt to collect slivers of life during these difficult days. Next week, Jews around the world will sit around their Passover tables for what will invariably be a very different kind of seder. It goes without saying that the question of how this night, or this Pesach, is different from all other nights and all other Pesachs, has, since October 7th, gained an entirely new and tragic dimension. And few, if any, have thought about this matter more than 43-year-old Mishael Tzion, a liberal Orthodox rabbi and Jewish educator from Jerusalem. In 1997, Mishael's father, Noam Tzion, together with his friend David Dishon, published a popular English-language Haggadah called A Different Night. 7 years later, Mishael himself joined his dad in creating an Israeli version, Halayla Hazeh, Haggadah Israelit. And this year, 2 decades after that Israeli Haggadah came out, Mishael and his father decided to update it for the first post-October 7th Seder. Mitch Ginsberg and I spoke to Mishael. Here he is. Can you introduce yourself?
So my name is Rabbi Misha Elzion, but most of the world calls me Mish. I live in Jerusalem. I'm the father of four daughters, which on Passover feels especially meaningful.
And how did you get into the business of writing Passover Agadot?
So for me, a lot of this actually goes back to one night. I was 22. I was serving in the Israeli army. And I just had the beginning of this idea to work with my father to create an Israeli Haggadah. He had created a Haggadah called The Different Night with his Chevruta Davidishon, his study partner. And yet, when we turned to create an Israeli version of the Haggadah, my father said to me, I've been in Israel since 1973. I love Israel, but I'm not Israeli enough to create an Israeli Haggadah. Maybe you, my son, serving in the Israeli army, maybe you can help me with this project. And I was very excited to jump on the bandwagon and get into the project with him.
Oh.
And we decided to call it the Israeli Haggadah. And we knew very quickly it wouldn't just be a translation of the American Haggadah into Hebrew. It needed to be a bona fide Israeli story. Representing the different ways that Israelis celebrate their Passover Seders.
So then in 2002, you sort of tested out your Israeli Haggadah, your own family Seder?
Yeah. When we came around to Seder night, my father did a move that is a masterful educational move. He said, you know, why don't you lead the Seder this year, since you're researching all this stuff about the Haggadah? And I remember that Seder night vividly. We were at my parents' house in the neighborhood of Talpiot. I just finished learning about all the different customs that Jewish families from around the world do on Seder night. And I said, this year, we're going to do all the customs together. So we sat on the floor in the way that Yemenites do, and we covered the whole Seder table with lettuce leaves and parsley leaves the way the Yemenite tradition does. And we wore white clothes the way German Jews do. And we took the Seder plate and we swerved it around everyone's heads in a blessing of Babhilu Yitzanu Mimitzrayim. In haste, we left Egypt. That's the Moroccan and the North African tradition. And when it came to Dayenu, we took out green onions and leeks and we beat each other over the head the way the Persian Jews do. And it was a beautiful night. And my sister read a feminist version of Avadimayinu, of We Were Slaves. And my mother told the story about the devout Protestant family that saved my grandfather during the Holocaust. And then when we got to Shulchan Orech, the part where we all sit down and eat, and finally someone who's leading a Seder can rest, my uncle Bensi turns to me and he says, Mish, I was on the porch just now. I was listening to the radio. In Israel, everyone has an uncle Bensi who listens to the radio every hour. And he said, Haya pigua b'Natanya. There was a terrorist attack in a hotel in Natanya. A lot of people are killed. What do we do? Do we tell everyone? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I felt how here's a nation that's trying to tell a story of freedom, trying to tell a story of Egypt behind us and the promised land in front of us. And again, we're pulled into this other narrative of in every generation, they seek to destroy us. And I felt the pull of those two narratives, the Exodus story that believes that we can change history and change our situation and believe in freedom. And the story of we're stuck, we're in this constant vicious cycle of anti-Semitism and attacks, a story I did not want to believe in, and I still don't want to believe in it, and it keeps raising its face to us. So that's my sort of pivotal moment of leading a Seder, and when we created the Israeli Haggadah, so many of those energies and customs and stories were poured into the Israeli Haggadah.
So then a couple of years later, the Haggadah actually came out and was a wild success, very, very popular, used in many, many homes, translated into many languages. And then this year, on the 20th anniversary of the publication of that Haggadah, you decided to publish a new version.
Yeah. But I also felt like it really needed to be recreated, that deserved new life. I would say that I really wanted this Haggadah to reach Middle Israel, for as many families across the board of Israelis to sit down around their Seder table and read the words of Martin Luther King at their Passover Seder, to feel that the message of the Haggadah is not just a Jewish particularist message, it's also a human universalist message, and that the Western tradition learned from the Passover story to believe in freedom, to believe in revolution, to believe that there is a tomorrow and that we can change history. And that story starts at the Passover Seder, and I wanted to show Israelis that they are part of a greater tradition of freedom that they celebrate at their Passover tables. So when October 7th came around, we were already knee-deep in working on this new version of the Haggadah. But I also have to admit, I wasn't as energized as I thought I would be. I kept looking at the text and saying, we can include this, we can change that. But it didn't feel as crucial as I hoped it would. And ironically, once October 7th happened, suddenly we got a new understanding of why this night is so important and also a new set of stories that we wanted to tell. I'll admit that in the first few weeks after October 7th, I didn't want to have anything to do with the Haggadah. I think like so many of us in Israel and maybe across the world, the project that we were already in the middle of felt flat and irrelevant. And then two things happened. One is that two young soldiers who are connected to families that are deeply connected to the Haggadah were killed in fighting in Gaza. And that hit us in the stomach very deeply. One is Lavi Lifshitz, who is a photographer and a creative soul. And his great aunt, Dvorah Lifshitz, is the brilliant designer of her Haggadah, which we owe so much to her creativity in creating the great look of the Haggadah. And the other one is Eitan Dishon, who's the grandson of David Dishon, who wrote the original A Different Night with my father. And as my father and I were walking out of Har Herzl after Eitan Dishon's funeral, we said to ourselves, okay, we are going to publish the Haggadah this year. So in December, trying to think, how do we make this Haggadah relevant in a post-October 7th world? I turned to the National Library in Jerusalem, which had just opened its new campus, and I was very excited to see the building. And I turned to the librarian and I said, can you give me all the Haggadot written by the kibbutzim that were near the Gaza Strip? Names that we in Israel have been saying again and again over the last few months, Kibbutz Be'eri, Nir Oz, Nachal Oz, each one with their intense stories of what happened on October 7th, but all of them that also have a rich tradition of writing their own Haggadot and turning their Jewish values, which in their case are secular, socialist, universalist values, into the Passover story, into the Jewish particularist narrative. And the fact is that one of the most creative moments of Haggadah history is the way that kibbutzim in the 30s and the 40s rewrote their Haggadot. You weren't a serious kibbutz if you weren't rewriting your own Passover story. And they had a great secular vibe to their Haggadot. It was all about how Moses redeemed us from Egypt, not necessarily God. And they also brought a creativity and a relevance to their own story, to their Haggadot. So when I opened up the Haggadot, I was blown away. In 1956, Kibbutz Nachal Oz, which is a kilometer and a half away from Gaza City, write their Haggadah. And they are so excited that they can say, how is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, our ancestors were slaves to Egypt, subject to their taskmasters. But on this night, we are free, and we are settled on the border of Egypt, and now our own hands are ready to defend our lives. And reading that after October 7th, when Kibbutz Nachal Oz was not able to defend their own lives, is chilling. In another set of Haggadot, I found the Haggadot of Kibbutz Nir Oz. Nir Oz is a kibbutz that was attacked viciously during October 7th. Many of its members were killed or taken hostage. And yet their Haggadah, written in the 90s, is full of hope and full of a discussion of the kind of world that we hope to build and sort of the best spirit of the hope of the 90s. And one of the texts there caught my eye immediately. It talks about Israeli society as a fruit salad. Now, I haven't often seen discussion of Israeli society as a fruit salad, so I was immediately intrigued. And I want to read to you the text.
Please.
Look at the fruit salad. Some fruits are sour and some fruits sweet. Some are more juicy, some harder to eat. Some are more smooth, some rougher skinned treats. Each fruit brings its own taste and colors and texture. And when all mixed together, they create something new, far more than just each fruit alone. So too with us, we're made up of all kinds. Some work the land, some look to heaven for signs. Some of us are visionaries, some more practical types. We come in all sizes, all shapes, and all stripes. Some set out on new paths, some settle rather than roam, and each brings their own language, customs, and beliefs from home. We are an ingathering, a kibbutz of peoples, a multicultural nation, an immense, breathing and living creation, renewing itself with so much innovation. We lift up a glass to all who return to our land, to the ingathering of exiles, to immigration, to integration, both present and past, we lift up a glass.
Oh, wow. Amen.
Yeah. So when I read this text about the fruit salad, I called Alon Pauker from Kibbutz Be'eri. He's the one who sent me the PDF of this Haggadah from the 90s. And I said, Alon, this text about the fruit salad, it's beautiful. I want to quote it in the Israeli Haggadah. Who should I reference it to? And he said, oh, the fruit salad, actually, I didn't write that, Alon says. My friend Avner wrote it, Avner Goren. Avner was killed on October 7th in his mamad, in his shelter. His wife Maya, who was the caretaker for children at Kibbutz Ner Oz, ran to the child care center when the sirens went off to make sure there wasn't anyone there. And that's where the terrorists found her, shot her, and took her into Gaza. And her body hasn't been returned yet.
Oh.
And I would like as many Jewish families around the world and across Israel to read Avnel's texts, both because Israel needs this message right now, but also in memory of a man who loved Haggadot and who apparently had a good sense of humor about fruit salads and Israeli society, and who gave us a text that is so meaningful to us, both because of his death, but also because of his life. And we hope Avnel's words being read around tables on Passover night will be a meaningful memory to him and also an inspiration for us to work harder at this crazy fruit salad that we're all living in.
So we're recording this conversation after a night in which we were all up hearing the booms of Iranian missiles being intercepted and going into our miklatim and sirens. And it seems as if in some fundamental way, this night is very, very different than all other nights. And yet, on some deeper level, or looking at this with sort of a longer view of history, as you know, you have this long list in one of the pages of the Haggadah of all the various different calamities of the Jewish people, it seems as if there's nothing different, that this is yet another line in a very long list. And I was thinking about it, you know, there are so many families who are going to be sitting down to a seder table next week. And when they come to the question of how is this night different than all other nights, the answer is not going to be some sort of playful game of about chametz and matzah or maror or yirakot or whatever. It's going to be a palpable difference.
I think just sitting down with our families and our loved ones on Seder night and asking how is this night different from all other nights is super important this year. And just leaving room for that question. As educators, we often run to the answers. As parents, we want to give our children answers. But I think this year, this night, just leaving room for the questions. And when you ask that question, you feel, you know, the winds of history blowing through what's happening. We don't know what the next episodes of this crazy series that we're all watching and participating in are going to bring. And so it's going to be really a night of questions. And that scares me as a parent. It scares me as a Jerusalemite. But then knowing that that question has been asked before, it's been asked during World War II, it's been asked during the Crusades, it's been asked throughout Jewish history, it does give me a modicum of comfort. And more than that, I think not so much looking for comfort, it gives me that sense of resilience that we'll face what we'll face and we'll find a way to bounce back.
And Michel, in this new edition of the Haggadah, you included many passages relating specifically to the war.
Yeah, so as we think about this year's Seder, I think the story of the families of the hostages is going to be on everyone's mind. That empty chair at the table, the sense of families even till the moment of Passover night that they don't know if their loved ones will be with them or not. And I wanted to include their voices. They're the ones that I feel closest to. But there was another thing that was important to me, and I think it's really important for this night as well. And that is hope. The Seder night ends with L'shana ba'a b'Yerushalayim abnuya, next year in Jerusalem. We have to end this year's Seder with hope, with a belief that the world can be different. And when I sought out texts from families of hostages, I was specifically looking for texts that also bring in hope. Not a naive hope, but a deep belief that if we hold on to the values that are most important to us, that we will be able to tell this story for many more years. And that's the hope that I think we need to build on Seder night this year specifically. And to hear that from the families of hostages specifically, with all that they've been through, is I think the greatest source of strength and resilience that we can find. And I'll give two examples. Jackie Levy, who's an Israeli storyteller and comedian, who has two nephews who were taken into captivity, and their father as well. He wrote a beautiful text about how when Sal and Erez Calderon, who were 14 and 16, if I'm not mistaken, were let out of captivity, he suddenly felt what Hallel really is about. Hallel is that moment of praise and thankfulness that we say during Seder. And he says, how many times have I said words like, praise the Lord, all those who have been redeemed from captivity, right? Big deal. We say those words like we say, you know, Jews who are religious say all kinds of prayers all the time. They don't necessarily stop to notice what they mean. And suddenly Jackie says, I looked at those words and I said, oh my God, praise God, all those who have been redeemed from captivity. My nephews have been redeemed from captivity, and he looked at their mother, Hadas Calderon, his sister-in-law, and she, though being a devoutly secular person, sort of cried out, Yesh Elohim, there is a God, thank God, Hodu Lashem Kitov, as the prayer book would say it, or as the Haggadah would say it. And he said, I want to bring in that energy of Hodu Lashem Kitov into the room on Seder night. Sara Neres Calderon's father, Ofer Calderon, is still a hostage in Gaza. We deeply hope that he is alive, and we deeply hope that he'll be able to come back to his family, if not for this holiday, then for the next holiday.
Amen.
And part of what gives us that hope and that resilience to hold on to that hope, despite the harsh news that we're facing every day, is that sense of halal, being able to say thanks for what has happened in the past and for what will hopefully happen in the future.
And the second example?
So one of the most challenging texts in the Haggadah for many of us, for me personally, is toward the end of the Seder. We fill a glass and we
say...
I know
what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Good, exactly. To say, I mean, for many of us, when we say, Shfoch hamatcha lagoyim, pour out your wrath against the Gentiles. Now, some people are mistaken to think that that is a text that speaks about all Gentiles, that the Haggadah creates a line and says there's Jews and there's non-Jews, and non-Jews are the ones that we need to pour out our wrath against. That is a bad reading of a text. Someone who says that just doesn't know how to read the Haggadah properly. The Haggadah says, pour out your wrath against the Gentiles who do not know your name, who seek to destroy your people. Within the people of the world, we have enemies. We have those who do not know God's name, or I would say in a different way, who do not see the divinity that is in every human being, the infinite worth of human life, regardless of nation and ethnicity and religion. Those who do not see that, they are the ones who deserve divine wrath. And that's what we call out on Seder night. And I think this Seder night, there's a lot of anger. I feel a lot of anger. A lot of anger at those who seek destruction and violence instead of moderation and solutions. And it's against those people that I want to ask God to pour out his wrath. But at the same time, a family like ours also knows that we are alive thanks to people who believe in God, maybe not exactly our story of God, or people who see the infinite value of human life, maybe they do it in exactly the same language or values that we do it, and who have risked their own lives in order to save lives, any lives, and specifically Jewish lives. And so when my father first put out his Haggadah a different night, he added to the text, pour out your wrath. He also added a text called, pour out your love. Mm. When we went back to the Haggadah now, after October 7th, and we said, okay, how are we going to relate to this text? There is a lot of wrath. And there also is a lot of love. How do we share those two elements? And that's where I turn back to the words of Rachel Goldberg, the mother of Hirsch Goldberg Poland, who was a hostage in Gaza, wounded. We haven't had a sign of life from. And I think for many of us, Rachel has really been a beacon of hope and values and ethics in this time. And in one of her speeches at the UN, she spoke about how she refuses to be seduced by hatred. That hate is so easy. It's the easy solution. And she refuses to be seduced by it. And she asks all of us not to be seduced by the easy solution that is hatred. So when she speaks about not being seduced by hate, she mentions a story about the shelter where Hirsch and Anel Shapira and 19 other revelers from the Nova Party were all trying to wait out the sirens. And together with them was a Bedouin man who was a guard at the kibbutz across the street. And he also ran inside for cover. And as Hamas closed in on the bomb shelter, this man told the young people inside the shelter with him, stay quiet and let me go out and talk to them. And the Bedouin man who had been guarding the kibbutz goes out in Arabic and says to the Hamas terrorists, I'm a Muslim. Everyone inside is my family. We are Muslim. You don't have to search in there. He tried to save them. He could have just said, I'm a Muslim and just saved himself. But he tried to do the right thing, even though it was terrifying and even though it required unimaginable courage. And Rachel says that he was brutally beaten and that the witnesses do not know what his fate was, but that she takes comfort even for a fleeting moment knowing that there was someone trying to do the right thing there, even when everything in the universe has turned upside down. Mm. And I feel like that's part of what I want to channel. That's what I want to teach my daughters this year when we get to pour out your wrath. Yes, there's a lot to be angry about. There's a sense as a religious person, I do want to believe that there's a sense of justice in the world and that God will act on the side of justice in this world. And at the same time, I know that we as human beings, we are not God. We do not see history in the big ways that divinity does. And our work is not to be seduced by the easiness of hatred. And those are the words that Rachel gave us all. And I hope many families will read it around their Seder table this year.
Amen.
And that's why I'm proud the Haggadah came out in Hebrew in time for Seder night, and we translated it into English, and volunteers translated it into French and German and Spanish and Portuguese. I think because there's a real thirst to make this night a meaningful night. And for me, this is mamash kept my sanity in so many ways working on this project. Mm. The Passover Seder tells me there is a tomorrow and it can be better than yesterday. And I refuse to let go of that narrative. So that's the story that I'm going to be telling my daughters this Passover night. Yes, in every generation they rise up against us to wipe us out. But yes, there is a tomorrow. We can believe in a promised land. It's going to take us much longer than we thought to get there. But we're not going to stop.
ושחט את השור ששתה את המים שכיבו את האש ששרפה את המקל שחפת בכלב שנשך לחתול שטרף את הגדי שאבינו הביא ובמלאך המוות והרג את השוחט ששחט את השור ששתה את המים שכיבו את האש ששרפה את המקל שחפת בכלב שנשך לחתול שטרף את הגדי שאבינו הביא Zabina ba bitreizus khad gadiya khad gadiya Ma pitom at shara khad gadiya aviv od lo igiya u pesach lo ba U ma ishtana loch ma ishtana ani ishtaneiti li hashana Bechol alelo bechol alelo shalti rak הלילה הזה יש לי עוד שאלה עד מתי יימשך מעגל האימה הלילה הזה יש לי עוד שאלה עד מתי יימשך מעגל האימה רודף ונרדף מכה ומוכה מתי יגמל הטירוף הזה וסוגדי שלב היום אני נמר וזאב תורף הייתי כבר יונה והייתי צבי היום איני יודעת מי אני
שני סוסים שוב מתחילים להתחיל.